direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Grateful you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are continuing our study in Revelation chapter 2 with the church in Smyrna, and I will read that again. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, your tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but our synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Yesterday, we began to unpack a bit of this setting here in Smyrna, which is a really fascinating setting because Smyrna had become known as one of the most loyal cities to Rome. Their coins claimed themselves to be the first city of Asia in size and in beauty, and all of these pagan temples were going up there. In fact, what makes Smyrna so interesting is that this was one of the first cities to have built there what was called the Dia Romana. That was a temple that personified Rome as a goddess. So it was a temple for worshiping Rome. All the cities of the region then knew about this, and even in AD 25, they were vying for the right to build a temple for the great emperor Tiberius. Well, Smyrna got that privilege. So there sat the Dia Romana, the symbol of Rome, and then another great temple to their emperor. And so they would come, people would come, and what they would do is they would take incense and they would sprinkle it over the bust of the emperor, and they would declare, "Caesar is Lord." This is the whole context, by the way, to the book of Revelation, that the book of Revelation is explaining who is really sovereign in this world, and it's explaining who is really God. In this context of the Roman beast in its power that is trying to usurp that authority. You know, Julius Caesar had this temple built with the inscription in Latin, Deo Invicto, to the unconquered God. So all these emblems of Rome's great accomplishment, all of their symbols people were bowing down to, this was a very patriotic time. You know, and I said yesterday, this would be like having a Smithsonian there, right? With all of America's accomplishments and people coming and studying it and really worshiping the United States, bowing to the United States, paying all their homage to us. And this was so ingrained in the people of Rome. You think the Christians did this? They couldn't. Christ wanted undivided allegiance to him. They viewed that as idolatry. They couldn't worship Caesar as Lord. So what do you think started happening? Well, Jesus is here addressing that. And so in verse 9, he observes that he knows what this church is facing. "I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich." There's a lot being said here. You know what he just said about this church? It was counting the cost. This is what we left off with yesterday, reflecting on counting that cost, and it was having an awful consequence on Smyrna. You can only imagine how unpatriotic these Christians were being viewed in the city. Jesus says, "I know what you're facing. I know what you're going through." The church got together and they had to make a decision, you know? We cannot as Christians be a part in this kind of worship. And they devoted themselves to prayer, the breaking of bread, and the word. As they did this, the city responded. What began to happen? Well, it wasn't that this church was poor because they didn't have money. They were becoming poor. They were becoming poor because of they were counting the cost. They were not sharing in the things that promoted emperor worship and the cult worship and the things that patriotically supported Rome due to conviction, because they saw it as a threat to the worship of the true and only Christ. And the situation had become so bad that the only real way you could share in the city's wealth and prosperity was to be involved with the worship of Rome. Listen, economic prosperity and social acceptance was determined by your involvement with the Roman cult. You know how great a pressure this is? We know that the city began to ban the Christians from trade and take their property. So think about this. Because of taking a stand with Christ, the Christians in that city were becoming poor. Christ says, I see your poverty. You imagine this. Do you ever think about it that taking the stand for Christ, believing in his name, that often what results in your business practices and your general life is poverty, and that it is a direct cost of Christian discipleship? Oh, you can avoid it. You can keep it all. But are you really following Christ if you do? You see, as Christians, they refuse to be involved in the emperor cult. They refuse to be involved in all the shady business practices of the world. And in the process, they were losing everything materially. They were known as a poor church, just 30 miles north of Ephesus. Now, the second thing, that's the first thing, their poverty. The second thing that Christ says here is, I see the slander against you. Verse 9, I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Lo and behold, you know what was causing all the grief? It was the Jews. Remember, the Jews were one of the only religions exempt from the emperor, worship of the emperor. And the reason that was so is because Romans loved antiquity, old things. And the Jewish religion was old. It had been established. It was not novel. It was not new. But here was this new sect called Christians. Now, the Christians said, we're all the way from the beginning. We followed the Lord all the way from the beginning. But that's not how the Jews viewed it. And many of the Jews were coming to Christ. And what were they doing? The Jews were severely leading the persecution against the Christians. Not enough Christians think about this today. They had taken Christ and put him to death, and surely they were going after his followers. Interesting that Christ says that they are Jews, but they are not. They say they are, but they are not. And notice that. What does Christ call these Jews? A synagogue. Notice he uses the word synagogue of Satan. In other words, these Jews persecuting the early church were Satan's greatest agents against the gospel. They were totally being slandered to the Romans as a sect and deviant to the Jewish religion. And the Jews wanted nothing to do with Christianity. And that's what Christ acknowledges here. The church was not wavering, but guess what? They were out there. They didn't close their doors. They spoke in love to these people. And their sufferings were great. So what does Christ do? He begins with a call to courage. And you will see how this applies to us. What does he say? Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. And then he tells them they're going to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. This is so important today, isn't it? We've not faced anything like this, you know. Our Christianity, isn't this just the case? I used to want to apply it that way and say that. You know, what does it cost you? But you know, I've come to the conclusion that that may be part of the problem. That today we sit back and we say, well, we've not suffered like this and we've got it so good in North America. I'm not denying that we do. But you know, I had a friend who, as a pastor, went overseas, and he went over and visited some of these third world countries, and he went to Russia, and he talked to Chinese Christians, and they said, you know, how do you guys do it over in the United States? You know, for us, you know, we don't have anything to lose and we suffer, we are physically persecuted. But how do you follow Christ when you have everything? That is such an important point, isn't it? They pray for us over here because we're so compromised. We're so worldly. We've been so sucked into the world that our Christianity doesn't cost us anything, where these people across the world are dying. And they view us as persecuted in a different kind of way. When I first heard that, I didn't even know how to respond to that because I would never think of this that way. But then I have to remember that the scriptures teach that our three sworn enemies in this life are what? The world, the devil, and our own flesh. The world may rise up against Christians in these far corners of the world, but is not our own flesh, is not the devil rising up against us here with sheer consumerism and materialism so that our Christianity costs us nothing? It's something to think about. Jesus just looked at this church, which had been very faithful in standing against idolatry and has suffered poverty for it, slander. And now he says, you're really going to be tested. The devil himself is going to focus his energy on attacking you. And your church is going to be heavily persecuted 10 days and some will be put to death. You know this happened? Dear listener, you heard the name Polycarp, right? In February of AD 156, he was the pastor of the church in Smyrna. The bishop and pastor of this church had to flee outside the city to hide from the Romans who wanted to kill him. When they tracked him down, he didn't run, but he fed them. The officer who brought him back to the city pleaded with him, "What harm can it do? Just make the sacrifice to the emperor." Polycarp could not. They brought him to the city's amphitheater and they said, "Swear by the genius of Caesar and we will release you. Revile Christ." You know what Polycarp said? Polycarp was an old man, you know, at this time, and a flurry of persecution broke out in Smyrna. 14 Christians were seized from this city and this church, dragged to the public arena, where they were then fed to wild beasts. All but one died gloriously, one even slapping the animal who seemed to be too lazy to attack him. The crowd began to then shout for Polycarp. When they brought Polycarp in, they said to him, "Swear by the fortune of Caesar, repent. Declare death to the atheists." Listen to what Polycarp said. "I have served him," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "for 86 years, and he's never done me any wrong. Why then should I blaspheme against my king and my savior? If you do not repent, I shall have you burned at the stake," they said to Polycarp. "You threaten me with fire that burns for an hour and then dies down. But do you know the eternal fire of the justice that is to come and devour the ungodly? Come, don't delay. Do with me what you want." History tells us it was the Jews of Smyrna that grabbed the wood. Come back to this tomorrow. But you see, following Christ comes at a great cost. And we are to be his witnesses in the world. The Lord is going to unpack for us why he allows this to happen. He cares deeply about the salvation of souls, and that the gospel go out, and that we show our love for Christ even unto death. May we show that to the world, that what we have is indeed worth counting the cost for. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service time. LindenURC.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.